This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Watch the video anymore. Each time I watch it, my eyes sweat out like the lady was talking about. And I love that. I love what was said. And I think about, why does that touch us? You know, why does that speak to our heart? Why does it make our eyes sweat out? And I think there's a part of us, let me just kind of be open with you guys. I think there's a part of us that wants to have this as the reality, right? I think one of the reasons this is so powerful is that it's so rare. You know, the moms go in, they're looking to say something about their kids. Instead, they get to hear their kids honor them. And I wish that we did that more, you know what I mean? I think sarcasm is so much easier. I think picking at people is so much easier. Being funny is so much easier. All those things are easy, but I think living the way God wants us to live is hard sometimes because it's so unnatural. We don't see this in our society, do we? In our culture, we don't see people being honored like that. So it's kind of strange almost, unnatural and different. And yet I think there's a part of us that wants it that way. We long for that. And I think God puts it in our heart to be a people who give honor, who give that kind of respect, who say those words. Not just on Mother's Day, right? It's like Mother's Day, we think we're supposed to do that. But what if we did that all the time? What if God said, this is the way I want you to live? I think God puts us in a place where we can listen to his word and we go, okay, God, what do you want for us? And how should we live? And how should we honor our moms on a day like today? If you have your Bibles, open them to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to talk about where this came from, where this idea is from. I hope this speaks to everybody, whether you are a mom today, whether you are a person who never will be a mom, perhaps. If you're a man, even there's some things we're going to look at. Whether your moms are still alive or whether they passed on, and we're going to look at some things that I think will speak to this and really God's will for our lives. So Exodus chapter 20, kind of land there. I'm going to take a minute to get there. Exodus 19, just leading up to it. Exodus 19 is where God has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and it's 3 new moons later, so 3 months later, he's leading them in the desert, and as they go out in the desert, he is preparing them, and he's basically telling them, we're about to establish a new relationship, a new way of doing life. You are going to be my treasured possession. You're going to be a holy nation. You just came out of Egypt, and now we're going to start over. We're going to kind of lay down some rules of how we're going to relate to one another and how we're going to get along together. And so he says, wash your clothes, get ready. There's something interesting coming. Prepare yourself, prepare your hearts. Go to Mount Sinai, which is where they were, camp below it. Moses is going to go and he's going to hear from God. And God shows up in a very dramatic way. And there's lightning, there's smoke, and there's clouds. And then God begins to speak. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and the following. This is what happened. It says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He's kind of telling him who he is and how we're related. And then he starts with what we know is the first of the Ten Commandments. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, when you were in Egypt, they had lots of gods there. They had a sun god. They had a moon god. They had a river god. They had frog-like gods, right? They had all kinds of gods. He said, you're about to go into Canaan, where there's all kinds of gods there, and I need you to get this. You shall have no other gods before me. This is where monotheism begins. This is what set the Jews apart from everybody else. I'm the only God, and you shall have no other gods before me. And then he begins to explain what that looks like in verses that follow, starting with verse 4. He says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay, so he said, don't make idols, don't worship them, they're not real, but they'll take your heart away from me. And you'll try to replace me with something that you made with your own hands because you can control that. That's something you can manipulate. But I don't want you to do that because it'll take your heart away from me and it'll affect the next generations down to the third and fourth generations. And they're going to walk away from me and there's going to be consequences to that. But there's also consequences for those who follow me because you're going to experience my love and you're going to experience my steadfast love. And so he's kind of laying down the groundwork. This is how you need to live. Don't make things with your hands that you're going to worship. And then he continues with the next commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Kind of stop there. Most of the time we think that's cussing, right? Use God's name in a bad way. And that is part of it. But to use something in vain is to mean to do it emptily, with nothing behind it. So it's empty. You just say his name and don't mean anything by it. Or to take the name of the Lord to say, I belong to God, but not really live that way. And that's kind of where our culture is now, isn't it? Christians live just like the world, and we take the name of Jesus. He says, I don't want you to live that way because people are looking to you to see what I'm like. So don't take my name in vain. Don't take it kind of like it doesn't mean anything to you. If you're going to take my name, live it. He knows we can't live it perfectly, but think about it. What does it mean to take the name of the Lord and to use the name of the Lord? And then he moves to the next commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, or the sojourner, which means a foreigner, an immigrant, who is within your gates. He continues to explain that. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He says, I want you guys to be different. Everybody around you, they work 7 days because they need to get their food in. He says, that's not the way it's supposed to be with you. You're supposed to take a day off because I took a day off. I created for 6 days. I took the seventh day. I want you to do the same thing. And then you're going to tell everybody around you that you're different because you trust God to provide when you don't work. You're going to trust God that you don't have to make it happen. So every culture around you is going to look at you and say, man, look at their God. He provides for them. And they rest that day. And the day they rest, they think about him and all he's created and all he's provided. That's what he wanted. And so these first four commandments are all about our vertical relationship with God, right? Don't have any other gods. Don't make any fake idols. Don't take his name in vain. Make sure you keep the Sabbath. And the very next one, the fifth one, verse 12, he begins to change and start talking about vertical relationships. He begins to talk about a horizontal relationship, and he starts with this very important one. He says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Honor your father and your mother. The very first relationship he talked about, when he talked about human beings and how we get along, the very first thing he said is, I want you to honor your father and mother. Now, when we read that, I don't know how you are. I typically think of children, right? Little children, like you need to honor your father and mother. It wasn't given to children that are little. It was given to children who were adults. He's saying to the adults, honor your parents and honor your grandparents because they were going to be surrounded by their families. He says, I want you to honor them. I want you to create this culture of honor. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I want you to honor your father and mother. And that's really what Mother's Day is about, isn't it? Where we honor our mother and father. But specifically, we honor our mothers. Now, the word honor in the Hebrew is this word kabod or kavod. There's kind of some debate, and we don't say it correctly anyway. It literally means to be heavy or hard, or to make heavy. So therefore, on Mother's Day, you're supposed to feed your moms, right? Give them lots of food to eat. And we have a little bunk cake for you. It's just for you, though. You can't share it. You can share it. But it's not really that way, right? It's not really to make them heavy. But that's what the word means. And it can be translated honor, glorious, or make great. Let me tell you how this works. Think about the word weighty. If something is weighty to you, like in your mind, it's weighty. It weighs on you. It's important. It's solid. It's not trivial. It's not unimportant. When you honor someone, you look at them and say, you're very important to me. You are weighty in my life. You're not just something I think about from time to time. It's not something trivial, but my mom and my dad here, but we're going to talk about moms today for Mother's Day, you are valuable to me. You're important. It's not a passing thought. It's not something I kind of put into my life to fit everything else. For parents, you are important. You are important to us. And that's huge. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's how we look at our mom and my dad. It's how we look at moms on Mother's Day. You are important to us. This is a heart issue. Now, it's similar to respect, right? Sometimes in English, we translate those differently. We kind of put them together. But here's something I saw the other day that I really liked. It said this, that honor is given, but respect is earned. In other words, honor is a gift that I give to someone. Respect is something they have to earn from me, right? You have to be a person of integrity, a person who does what's right. Then I respect you. And you hear this a lot. Honor doesn't have anything to do with that. Honor is a gift that you give and you say, you're just important to me. You're valuable to me. You're someone I look to because God has given you to me. It is a gift. And I think on Mother's Day, probably the greatest gift that we can give is honor, because it covers so much ground. Now, if you follow Exodus and you're reading through in Leviticus and the Pentateuch, you're going to see what God does to kind of make this happen. If you've ever read this, you know when God says make a camp, because they're traveling, right? They're camping through the wilderness. He says, when you're camping, this is what I want you to do. Put the tabernacle right in the middle. That's where you're going to meet with me. So in the camp, set your tabernacle first. That's a tent of meeting. You're going to come there and you're going to meet with me, and you're going to be the center. I'm going to be the center of your living. God always wants to be the very center. So you're going to come, and everybody's going to be able to come equal distance away. Do that, and then arrange your tribes, because it was a tribal nation, right? 12 tribes came together. Put the Levites first closest, because they're going to serve in the tabernacle. And then everybody else around them, I want you to be arranged by tribes. You're going to have a leader of the tribe. And then when the tribes, I want you to have clans, which are those people that come, and they're with you all the time. And within the clans, you're going to have families. Does it make sense? So in other words, you're living next door to your cousins, or you're living next door to your brother, or you're living next door to your sister, and your grandparents live right there too, and if you're fortunate enough and blessed enough, your grandparents' parents, your great-grandparents live there too. So do you see how this works on a daily basis? If you're honoring your parents, your brother and sister are going to see you do that. Your children are going to see you do that. Your aunt and uncle are going to see you do that. Your cousins, if they're going to honor their parents, then your children are going to see their cousins do that. Your aunt and uncles are going to do that. So every day, because you're surrounded by family, you're going to see how this plays out. And this is how it's supposed to be for generation after generation. You're going to see what honor looks like. So different than our culture, isn't it? We don't live together as families like that. Some of you are really glad we don't live like that, right? Can you imagine what that would be like? But in their culture, they had to learn to get along. And how they got along was through honor. They honored their mother and their father in everyday situations. As they ate, as they moved, as they packed, as they sat around and told stories, this is their life. We're going to be a culture that honors. And when you learn honor, you learn how to relate to one another, and you learn how to relate to God. Now, maybe you're like, we live in such a culture that doesn't honor people. You go, what does that look like? I don't even know what it looks like, because our culture does not do that, right? It's not a culture of honor. So what does it look like? Well, there's some key words. I just want to throw them out to you that I think this is what it looks like. This first one is valuing. I think it's a key word to understand what honor looks like. It's valuing. It's saying, I'm looking at you, and you have value in my life. You're very valuable to me, as precious as anything else. It's a way of looking at people and going, because God created you, because you have the image of God, you are valuable to me. And I look at you differently because I do value you. Sometimes we look at people and look beyond them. You ever done that before? Look through them, look around them. You ever looked at somebody as an impediment to life? You're in my way. We do that, don't we? Instead of looking at them, here's a gift from God. And we value you. Richard Stearns is one of my heroes. Richard Stearns wrote a book, The Hole in Our Gospel. He was the president of Lennox, which is the company that makes china and invaluable crystal. And he wrote a book about his transition because God called him to leave this life of luxury and work for World Vision. World Vision is very similar to Compassion that we support here. World Vision takes care of children throughout the world. And they basically said to him, if you come here, you're going to take a huge pay cut. You're going to have to leave where you've grown and you have a family, you have a church, you're going to give all that up. but you're going to give your life to something valuable. And he decided that God was calling him, so he and his family sold their nice big house, moved out to the West Coast, and they started a whole new life of helping children. Well, in a new book he has coming out, that's just come out, he relates that after he moved, he emailed his personal assistant and he said, "How are things going now that I'm gone?" Now, Lennox is not a Christian company. So, "How are things going now that I'm gone?" She said, "It's not good. People don't treat each other the way they used to treat each other. People are seen as a stepping stone to something else. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about how they can use you to get ahead." And then she wrote, "When can you come back?" You know, like, can you come back now? You ever worked at a place where you're just someone who plugs a hole? Where they look at you only for what you can give to the company? You ever been in a situation where they look at you only as an asset? How they can get ahead by using you? That's devaluing someone, right? If you take one person out of the equation, so that's what happens. But if you've ever worked at a place where they go, "You're important. We believe in you. We want you to get ahead." You know, you just walk out of there feeling totally different. Now put that into a family, right? Put yourself in a family that doesn't value anybody, where you're just in the way, or you're just a mouth to feed, or you're just someone who does for you. And if you're living amongst selfish people, you know that's really, really hard. But if you live in a family that goes, "We're going to honor one another. We're going to say you are valuable, and we're going to be here for each other," that's a totally different world. And that's what honor looks like. That's what it feels like. That's what valuing is all about. Next couple of words that I think are really important for honoring someone on Mother's Day or any day of the week is noticing and acknowledging. That's what I loved about the video. It's like, we noticed what you did. We noticed you. We may never said anything before today, but we noticed you did all those things. And then acknowledging. I think I'm really good at noticing faults and acknowledging faults. Probably most of us are, right? We see where people fall apart or where they kind of drop the ball. What if we all became good at noticing good things and not acknowledging good things and just saying, "Wow, what you just did, that was awesome. That was an awesome meal. That was an awesome thing that you did just cleaning up. That was an awesome thing that you just said." What if we noticed and acknowledged the positive things? That's a way of giving honor. It's a way of saying, "I see you and you're valuable." In my family, there's a story that got passed around that I'm not, now that I'm a little older, I'm not real proud of it, but I'll tell you the story, and you can judge what you think of it. When my older brother, who was the star of the family, right? My brother's awesome. I had the greatest brothers. I have two great brothers. But my older son, when he went off to school, all right, he went off to college, and he's 4 years older, 4 years ahead of me in school. When he got home the first time after being away from college, Mom prepared a feast. There was steak, thick steaks, on the grill. There was baked potato. There was all the favorite foods, and we feasted when my brother came home. So what went through my mind? When I go to college and I come home, I can't wait to have the feast. For 4 years, I thought about the feast. What are they going to have when I come home? I have some favorite meals. It's going to be there when I come home. I was all pumped up for it. I kind of like waited. I lived 4 hours away. I went to school in Chapel Hill. I had to go 4 hours home. So I'm thinking about the feast. So I got ready to sit down. There's the meal. Comes in front of us. Ham and cheese puff. Now, I don't even know what puff is, all right? I think puff is like eggs and cheese. I don't know, but it was ham and cheese puff. And I hated ham and cheese puff. It was my least favorite meal my mom ever made. And it was put in front of me and is like, where's the feast? This is my honor day, right? And so I got up, and I'm not excusing them, so tell them a story. I got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I ate it there at the table. Now, this became a family story. Like, when my brother came home, he got the steak. When Patrick came home, he got the ham and cheese puff. I mean, it was kind of a fun story. We'd tell these stories. And then I realized, and I'm going to be open before you guys, I realized later that my mom had made thousands of meals, right? She made all these meals. She was a great cook. How many times did I acknowledge those? Why wasn't that a family story? It should have been. It should have been. Now, I like to make fun. I like to have fun. And my mom laughed too, okay? But I should have been telling the stories of all the great things my mom had done.
and all the great meals that she had. And she made good meals for me later, and we joked about it and everything. But I think that stood out to me, that it's so easy, right? It's so easy to pick out the things that don't work. It's so easy to remember them years later, right? We still remember the stories. But what if we could change, maybe starting today, and we said, I'm going to notice and I'm going to acknowledge the good stuff. Man, what you just did was awesome. Thanks for doing the dishes, right? Thank you for making sure the laundry was done. Thank you for going to work every day and bringing home a paycheck. Thank you for watching your grandkids so we could go out for a night. I mean, we say thank you, right? What if we really made a deal of it? I noticed it. What you did was great. It's my way of honoring you. Another word I think is part of honoring is the word listening, right? Listening is a huge part. But not just listen. Have you ever done this? I hear you and you didn't really, and you're trying to fake it. You ever done that before? Yeah, I heard you, and you go, I'm gonna keep you talking till I figure out what you just said. I do this. We all do that, right? Masks make it even that much worse, don't they? You go, yeah, I got you. What did you say? Did you ask me to do something? Because I missed it, and I don't know how to answer. But we do these things, but how about if honoring is really about listening with value? When we grow up and we move out of our parents' home, we don't have to obey anymore, but we do have to honor. And what honor is I'm gonna listen to your advice. Because you're my mom, it's valuable to me. And I'm gonna listen to your stories. And I wanna hear the story about when you were little. And I wanna hear the story of how you grew up. Because it's important to me. Because I value, you're valuable to me. And so I wanna hear these stories. I wanna know what's going on in your life. And to listen with value. And to say, this is something we could do for all people, right? We do this for anybody. I wanna hear who you are. Because you're valuable to me. Of course, as Christ followers, the biggest word probably is loving, right? Isn't it the greatest way to honor somebody is to love them? To simply love them the way the Bible describes love, unconditional, full-on love? Here in Winston, you know, we live where Gary Chapman lives, Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages, probably the greatest book on love, short one that I've ever read beyond the Bible. And he described five love languages. If you haven't read this book, you need to pick it up. You can probably watch it on YouTube in about 5 minutes. It's really simple. It's everybody has a main way to be loved and to receive love. First is acts of service, to do something for someone. To say, hey, I'm going to do this for you today. I'm going to clean your car. I'm going to clean the dishes. I'm going to empty the dishwater. I'm going to take care of your plants for a week and try not to kill them, right? I'm going to do something for you. How about gift giving? We're really good at that at Mother's Day, Christmas, birthday. Let me give you something. But really think about what you're giving. This is something that you want. And I've watched you over a period of time, and I've listened to you, and I know this kind of thing is important to you. So I want to give that kind of gift. Physical touch is huge. Now, isn't one of the worst things about COVID is the lack of physical touch? You see stories all the time about people who go and they can't hug their mothers or their grandmothers. Because of COVID, we're afraid of passing it on. But when those doors open, let's make that sure that it's part of our life. Or holding a hand, just reaching out, because some people, they just need that. And this year has been really tough on those people who need physical touch because they haven't experienced love in a whole year. And their spirits and their souls are like starving for it. So that's a huge one for some. Quality time, that's huge. Just spending time together, putting the puzzle together. Talking, sharing stories, sitting outside on the deck or on the porch, right? And just listening to one another. And if you can't be there with them, get on the phone and just talk. And not be watching your phone for what time it is. Go, here's some time. I carved out this amount of time just for you. And then words of affirmation and encouragement. Hopefully you have a card today if your mom's here or around that you've written some things. But to say them as well, to encourage them. Love is huge. And I think for us, many of us, maybe living is the biggest word. To live a life that brings honor to our parents. To live a life that shows, here are the values. Here are the values that were passed on to me. When my mom died a few years ago, my sister, who's older, the oldest one in our family, she turned to my brothers and I and she says, I guess we're orphans now. Now, 50-year-old orphan, I never thought about what that was to be a 50-year-old orphan, but I understood what she meant, that we've lost both of our parents now. And so for Mother's and Father's Day, it's kind of different, right? And many of you are in that same situation. You can't reach out to your mom because she's passed. And so the day is a day of memory, right? But the way we can honor them still is by living a life with the values they instilled in us, to live a life that would be pleasing to them, to live a life that says, I know who you were, and I want to carry your best qualities with me every day. And how I treat people, how I say what I'm going to say, how I do what I'm going to do, that's a way of honoring, isn't it? Some of us don't know our moms because of the situation you grew up in. It's still a way of honoring them to say, God, you gave me a mom. And I want to live a life that would honor her however I live. So a lot of us are in that kind of boat, right? How do we live that out? And how do we do that? I'm going to tell you another story that reflects on me, but you can look at me and you can tell me later if this is a good story or not. Then I can take it out for second service. That's what we do in first service. You guys know that. We practice on you, and then you tell me that didn't work. And second service is like, okay, now we're going to fix this. But like this week is a different week for us. On Wednesday, I'm graduating from Liberty. I'm graduating with a degree, and it's something we've worked on for a while. And I'll tell you that, but not to say, look at me because of that. Because I'll be honest with you, about 2 years ago, I was ready to quit. I was ready to quit for a number of reasons. One, I was tired, and it was expensive. And then two, I wasn't happy with the leadership of Liberty. I'll just say that publicly. They were doing things and saying things that I didn't agree with. But within my class, I never heard anything but Christ-centeredness in all my classes. So I kept going for that, and I felt called to it, okay? I felt God was calling me to finish that, so that's the only reason I did it. And I feel like I finished that. And we weren't going to have a graduation, okay, like everybody else. It's virtual. But then they said, we're going to do it by department. We're going to do this by department, so you're going to be able to walk with your department, which I think is much better anyway than sitting in a big crowded stadium, which I didn't want to do. And I go, do I go or not go? You're like, do you really want to go 2.5 hours to go stand up for 5 seconds or whatever, walk across the stage? And I finally decided to go, and I'll tell you why. When I felt like God had called me to this, so why not finish it? But the other part was both of my parents grew up in lower middle class families, almost poor. And both of them looked at education in a huge way, like this is how you rise up. This is how you better yourself. This is what you do to explore everything that God has for you. So my father, from a very poor family, became a doctor. And my mom gave up going to school to raise our family, but I've told this before, she went back to school in her 80s and got her AA degree, which is huge. She went back to school. So graduation was really, really important to them. And they would go to all of our graduations, to the grandkids' graduations, all those things that were very important to them. And I thought, you know what? As a way to honor them, to live out what they taught me, I'm going to walk. But it's not to honor me. You know, it's like not to point at me. It's to say, look what God did through them to get me here. So for that, it was huge. And so I'm doing that for my family, okay? So when you do things that you say, I'm doing this for my mom, or I'm doing this for my dad, I'm doing this because of the God who created, that's a way of honoring them, right? And as a parent, I know what it feels like on the other side of that. The other side of that is like, that's my kid, you know? And I look at them and go, wow, it's a great honor to see them live out the values that I have, whether I stated them out loud or just live them. And it's the same for you, right? When you live out the values, you're honoring the people who raised you. And your mom, and your dad, or perhaps your grandparents, or whoever that mom figure was in your life, you honor them by living. And that's a huge thing. If you go back to the fifth commandment, interesting thing. Fifth commandment says this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. All right? The only commandment with a promise. And what's the promise? If you honor your parents, you honor your mom today, you're going to go into the promised land, and you're going to live there from generation to generation to generation, exactly what God wants you to do. If you don't have an honoring culture, you're not going to be able to stay there, because here's the deal. If we don't honor the parents we do see, how can we honor the Heavenly Father that we can't see? Or here's another way to put it. How can you honor your Heavenly Father whom you cannot see, if you cannot honor your parents whom you can see? I mean, right? If we can't value our parents, how can we value the God who gave us our parents? If we can't listen and speak into the lives of the people who raised us, how can we speak into the life of the God who created us? How can we do the things God wants to do if we don't follow this commandment? So God's saying, when you honor people, you're honoring me. So it's building this relationship with them. It's seeing them for who God has given them to be. It's a huge, powerful thing, right? Be the people who honor. And the thing I love about Jesus, when you follow the life of Jesus, he honored everybody he ever came in contact with, didn't he? We're followers of Jesus. He would pick people out. The poor widow who's there at the temple, and everybody else is throwing their money in this big metallic thing, and you hear the clunk, clunk, clunk of all their coins. And here's this widow. She puts in two little pennies, and Jesus goes, I noticed her. Did you guys notice her? She put in everything she had. Notice her. She's a hero. He honored her by talking about her. There's a man with leprosy, right? No one would touch a man with leprosy. Jesus touches him. I honor you. I'm listening to you. What do you want me to do for you? He honored people wherever he went. The people you didn't expect him to honor, he would say, that's the example right there. The poor, the downtrodden. These are the people to look up to. And then think about his parents. Now, Joseph must have died, we believe, between the ages, Jesus' age of 12 and 30. Because you don't see Joseph anymore. We see Mary, right? What's the first miracle Jesus did? The water and the wine, right? Why? His mom asked him to. His mom may have been in charge of the wedding. We're not really sure, but when they ran out of wine, she goes to Jesus, hey, Jesus, they're out of wine. And it's like, what am I supposed to do? It's not my time. And she doesn't say anything else, but out of honoring her, he gives this huge quantity of wine and the best wine. And everybody at the party goes, how'd this happen? Mary had it happen, right? She went to Jesus and he took care of it. He honored his mom on his very first one. Look what I did. I'm living out what she asked me to do. And what was one of the last things that Jesus did? On the cross. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. He looked out of the crowd and there's his mom and he says to his best friend, John, that's your mom now. Take care of her. She's going to come live in your house. And that's exactly what John did. And Jesus honored his mom by taking care of her. Honor is a powerful, powerful thing that we don't do enough in our culture. But if we want to live like Jesus, we honor everyone. And on a day like today, whether your mom's here or not, whether she's here on this earth or not, we honor them, right? Because they're a gift from God. And honoring them, we're honoring him. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful for the moms in our life. Not everyone has children, but everyone had a mom. And we're grateful for that, whether we knew them or not. We're grateful for the women who have poured into our life. Some of us had moms that weren't our biological mom, but they loved us. Some of us had a difficult relationship with our mom, but we still can look and see the positive things they brought into us. They taught us something through you. We want to honor them today, Father, as a way of honoring you and your commandment. We want them to feel valued. We want them to feel loved and listened to. So today like today is a special day for all moms, and we want to say thank you and bless them. May their lives be full of blessings. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.